one of our core values is to have a joyful attitude both here at the building and when we're not at the building. Praise the Lord. Looks like a good crowd today. We still have a lot of people online. Hello, people online. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
We've had folks checking in our midweek Zoom stuff that we haven't seen since March. We had several through the week in men's breakfast and the midweek Bible study, and they were just glad to see people. So we're still standing together, both at home and at the property, and we're going to stand together and stay connected. Stay connected. It's never been more important to connect with somebody. Check on them. See how they're doing. If you need a directory, I sent everybody my personal email, and we can send you an electronic copy. Don't forget, engage at 6:30 this Tuesday. You'll get the invitation, and I'm hopeful and planning on actually doing that meeting in September together live. Hey, they're having church at our satellite campus in Apache Junction, and God is moving out in the East Valley. That's right. And Darla is out there preaching today. Yeah, so I know she's going to do a good job. Pastor Lawrence, you know, gave his daughter away to Christian. And we performed that wedding this week, and they are happily married. It's easy to be happily married for 5 days. Actually, it's not easy, but you can be happily married for 50 years. But I tell people all the time, God's plan for marriage is to have good and powerful marriages. But the only people I know that have them work at it. And it's also by the grace of the Lord. But anyway, I'm sure Christian and Bella are just happy as they can be because they're still on their honeymoon. I mean, so, you know, and they can honeymoon for a year or two. You can get away with that. So let them know I talked about them next Sunday when you see them. Or some of y'all already texted them. You know, they're in college. The pastor's talking about you, but excited about what's happening in Apache Junction. Excited about what's happening here. Stay connected. Stand together. It's just a theme I feel like that's been in my heart. And today we start a new series. We've been in a series called Jesus Is for quite some time. I just felt like, and I changed it midstream around March because I just felt like what the Lord was impressing upon me was to be extremely Jesus focused. Therefore, a whole series, I don't know, 12 messages on who Jesus is. And it's been good. But this is the one I've been so excited about since about October of last year. Haven't taught on Romans, just here and there, but haven't taught through it in a long time. And so we're starting a series called Free and Free Indeed, the book of Romans. And we'll spend somewhere around 16 weeks on the first 8 chapters. So it's rich. There's a lot in it. And I'm believing for a lot of things as I prayed for you. I need all the prayer I can get, but I spend more time praying for you than I do me. And that's just the truth. And that's okay. But I hope that in the next few weeks, we will get and receive from the Lord a new revelation of His grace and His love. I'll say this now and I'll say it later. The book of Romans is the Magna Carta of the teaching on grace, especially the first 8 chapters. The Magna Carta of the entire Bible. I spent a little time, even when I was in secular college, studying Martin Luther. A lot of y'all know Martin Luther was the guy that came along 1,500 years after Christ and discovered in the Scripture. At that time, you know, most people weren't able to read the Scripture. It was written in languages. There was no written Bibles. The church of the day, the Catholic Church, had control of the Scripture. So the average person like you and I couldn't read it. And Martin Luther decided to study it. And he rediscovered the doctrine of being saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. Now, is it amazing to you that could be buried for centuries to some degree? when you study the story of Luther, and again, I'm not a student on Luther, but he struggled as a young man. He didn't have a very good relationship with his father. In fact, it was a terrible relationship. His father was hard. He was an unrelenting man. His father was an attorney and had designs for Martin to become an attorney. And so what did Martin do when he became of age? He went to law school. But a little around a year, give or take, Martin Luther fell out of law school. And his father was extremely angry and upset with Martin Luther. And then within that next year, guess what he did? He became a monk. And that was really devastating to his father. And his father was very furious because he felt like Martin was wasting his life. Felt like Martin was called to a much higher purpose, to be an attorney. Felt like it was a waste of money. And so, this is kind of in a nutshell the setup for Martin Luther. He distanced himself from his father, and actually his father distanced himself from him. And it seemed like the agenda of Luther's life as a monk to continue to distance himself from his father. Because it didn't matter growing up. It didn't matter how well behaved Martin was. It didn't matter how smart Martin was. It didn't matter how good his grades was. It was like he could never meet the expectation of his father. But when you look at the big picture, it was probably, and I don't think any child should have to grow up that way, so I'm not advocating for that. We have missing fathers in America, or fathers that are home that are absentee. I'm pretty passionate about fathers and grandfathers. So please don't misunderstand anything I say. But Martin Luther didn't have a great relationship with his father. In fact, it wasn't much at all. And Luther continued to distance himself from his father because he felt, one, he could never meet up to his father's standards. His father always found things that were wrong and never celebrated the things that were right in his life. He lived under guilt and unworthiness. He never felt worthy enough to be his father's son. It was a lifelong struggle for Luther, and you can pick it up and read about some of it. But in a sense, go big picture. We just zoomed in. Now let's zoom out. I believe the Scripture says, and when we get to Romans 8, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And I think we all would have to believe that Martin Luther was called according to his purpose because he rocked the church of the day. It's called the Great Reformation, where the whole world began to find out that it had nothing to do with works, but it was all by grace to find salvation. Martin Luther and many other men, but Martin Luther was on the tip of the missile. So you might say that because he was raised under guilt and condemnation and a heavy hand and never living up to the expectations to his father, that it prepared Luther. Everybody say prepared. It prepared Luther to discover the message of grace. Apostle Paul was another one. I just touch on him. You talk about a zealot. He says even in his own writings that before he found Christ, he followed the book to the letter of the law and still was lost. Philippians chapter 3. This is what we believe and this is what we behave. We believe in beliefs and behaviors. We believe that God gives us the core values. It shows us the way to eternal life, and it gives us the core values and the truth for living. And we want to live by the book, don't we? Let me tell you, you can't live by the book except by the grace of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God made real through the Holy Spirit. So we want to keep the rules, but keeping the rules, you know what that'll do for you? If you're one of those that want to keep the rules and you find your self-esteem and maybe in your salvation and rule keeping, number one, it won't save you. And number two, it's not about rule keeping. If you fall in love with Jesus and truly see the revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ that comes from the throne of God and is made a reality to the Holy Spirit, you will keep the rules. And I believe, especially in, we believe in holiness because the Scripture says without holiness no one will see the Lord. But I can't be holy trying to keep the rules. I can be holy leaning in and trusting in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, and then the rules are kept in me. So our focus has to be Jesus. And I'm believing for a revival in the next few weeks. And I got confirmation this morning. I had a young man said, gave me his testimony. We need our hearts broken open to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. In the church, we need a fresh revelation of the grace and love of Jesus Christ. If you're watching this morning somewhere around the country or in the valley, or if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, and you haven't made Him Lord and Savior, you need that revelation as well. I'm asking God to break our heart. Romans 3 and 23 through 25 says this, y'all are very familiar with these scriptures, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. Can I get an amen? He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance, He had the sins committed. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, speaking of the grace of God, says this, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And I understand the gift of grace has to be open. You have to open it up. You have to make a choice to receive it. I get that. But I'm going to tell you this morning, maybe you've heard it this way. I'm asking God to send grace that opens us. Grace that touches our mind. Grace that touches our heart. Grace that opens our heart. Breakthrough, Jesus. A revelation. A fresh revelation of the tangible love and grace of Jesus. Not where Pastor Dale got up for 30, 40 minutes and tried to convince you, or where you just read the scripture just to read it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give everybody that can hear this message the next few weeks a fresh revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm asking Jesus to break our heart open. I'm asking Jesus to break our minds open. I'm asking Jesus to break our spirit open. Doesn't matter how long you've served Him, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 days, 2 minutes, 50 years. Break our hearts open to a fresh touch of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Said it's inexpressible. You know what the original New Testament written in Greek, you know what inexpressible means? I can't express it. We're all Bible scholars now, aren't we? And actually it means this, free and without paying, divine. The biblical grace is too good to be true. The scripture that says, even while we were yet sinners, He died for us, is too good to be true. The scripture says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ is inexpressible. It's too good to be true. We're sitting here this morning. We shouldn't be here. We could have been here. We could have been there. We could have been living at the bottom of the barrel. We could have been dead. His grace and His love is inexpressible. John Wesley, and many of you would know him and some wouldn't, the founder of the Methodist Church. I mean, he was on fire. His brother Charles also was a preacher. After he had seen what was called the Methodist Revival, God moving, hundreds of thousands of people and hundreds and thousands of churches were planted because of how God used him. And the Methodist Revival had even hopped over the ocean and it had become worldwide. And in a moment of personal prayer and personal introspection, he came to a realization. The great John Wesley. That his love for God was less than it should have been. He even said this, and I quote, I do not love God. I never did. He wanted all the world to know Jesus. All the world to know the grace of Jesus. Countless souls came in. What are you saying, Pastor? If you're a Christian, I'm not challenging the fact that you're saved and you're a Christian. That's not my challenge today. If you're lost, then I want to give you a chance to get saved today. Because Wesley was a Christian. There was some kind of revelation that came over him when he said that. And he came to a realization that there was something missing inside of him as it pertained to him loving God. You may love God. You may love Jesus in general. Do you love the Father? Father God? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Father? Let me ask you this. It seems like the focus is on Father God, although we spent all this time talking about Jesus. We know they're different, and yet they're the three in one, and they're the same. Do you have a personal connection with Almighty God through Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal connection with the Father? Do you even begin to comprehend, and I'm asking myself these questions, do you even begin to comprehend how much He loves you? Or is most of your relationship with the Father intellectual? Or maybe it's conceptual? Or maybe it's just, I don't know what it is. And I'm saying this morning, we need an experience with God the Father. We need an experience with Almighty God. We need to have an experience with the grace of Jesus Christ. We need our hearts cracked open. There's so many things we react to in awe. I just got back from the Rocky Mountains. The minute I see him, I always go, wow, man. Now, I feel a blanket of peace fall on me every time I see him. Then right before that, I was at Lake Powell. If you haven't been to Lake Powell, get out there in the Grand Canyon in Sedona times 1,000 on the water. I mean, it's just, wow, man. The ocean. It's vast and powerful and beautiful and inspiring. How do we love? The scripture says that the grace of God is, and I use this scripture a lot, is exceeding abundantly and above all that we could ask or imagine. And again, Paul said it's inexpressible. How? How do we love God? The creator of all creators. You know, you think, well, who made the planets and who made the stars and who made the universe and who made the galaxies and what's after that? God. How do we get our minds and our hearts wrapped around that? How do we love something like Almighty God who's so vast and so awesome and yet He loves us? Can I get an amen on that? How do we open our hearts? Look, y'all could teach on grace. Almost every one of you in here could teach something on grace. How do we wrap our arms around that? The teaching of grace. Sometimes, with a polite distance. Well, let's move on. Let's look at the elder brother syndrome. Point two. Most people know the story of the prodigal son, right? A lot of y'all heard it. Let me see your hand if you've heard that story. If you hadn't, I'm going to read it to you today. It's actually a story of two sons. There's the elder son who stayed home his entire life. He's the Jewish firstborn. That meant everything in the Jewish culture to be the firstborn. This kid, young man, he kept the rules. He worked hard for daddy. He was honorable. He took care of business. He was respectable like his father. He was exemplary in every way. That's the elder son. That was the expectations placed on the elder son by the father in that culture. And then let's look at the younger brother, and we're going to read some scripture. We're actually going to read quite a bit of scripture before it's all over. Now, the younger brother, on the other hand, did an unspeakable thing. He asked for his inheritance early so that he could go out and spend it, leave home, and go out and spend it any way he wanted. So first of all, for a younger son to ask for the inheritance early when the inheritance, actually the older son got a double portion, because he was going to have to run the household and take care of everybody. He needed more to cover and take care. It was an insulting request. In that culture, for that young man to ask his daddy for his inheritance early was an insult to the father. And when that got around the community, it was belittling to the father and a man of stature. In fact, when you study it all the way out, what it really means in that culture, when somebody asked for their inheritance early, he was saying to that father and that community he's raising, I wish you were dead. And then what'd he do? He went out and squandered every nickel. He took a job later feeding pigs, which in that culture, in that religion, was a total disgrace. It was the vilest fit. Now he's already hit the bottom of the barrel. He spent the entire inheritance out living the party lifestyle. And now he takes a job, the job that no Jewish boy would take, the filthiest, vilest job or profession any young man could take in an Orthodox Jewish home. Which also, not only because of his own sins, made him ceremonially unclean. And then the revelation comes. For some of you this morning, you had to get to the bottom of the barrel, become more vile than you ever thought you would, become more bound than you ever would. But grace, that barrel's not so deep, grace can't reach down there and get you. I'm asking the Lord to crack our hearts open this morning. Luke 15, we're going to read quite a few verses. Verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of the country, who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants.'" Now, I think it's interesting to know that the word for servant there is slave. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, everybody say, "But the father." When you were down and out, say it, "But the Father." When you were lost in your sin, say it, "But the Father." When you were on the run, say it, "But the Father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. T-bone steak, fillets, prime rib, roast beef, taters and carrots." I don't know if they had taters. "Ketchup, cornbread, I can't help it, I'm going to say it, grass-fed bologna to grass-fed beef. They're just charging an extra $2 a pound. We raise hundreds of cattle all the time. We would have never slaughtered a grass-fed beef. Not in a million years. We pulled them off the grass and fed them good high-grain cracked corn for about 6 weeks. We fattened them up where they taste good." I just had to say it. That has nothing to do with my message. I get it. Eat the grass-fed and don't eat all that other junk they put in the feed. I get it, but it just tears me up. The country boy. "Bring the calf we fed on crack corn and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found." So they begin to celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Do, 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 do. Brought my air guitar today too. Yeah. It's real. That boy came home. That boy reached the end of himself. Why? He remembered who he really was, and he remembered who his father was. We need a reminder today to go back to who he is and what he means to us. Some of y'all are living outside even the boundaries God has given for you, and it's not who you are. It's not who you've been called to be. Some of you are running online. How do you run online? "I can see you out there." No, I'm just teasing. Remember who the Father is. Remember who Jesus is. Remember how much the Father loves you. And then you'll begin to remember who we were created to be in the first place. And you're out there living, being somebody that's not really you. He immediately made a plan. Now, I imagine he was kind of like the fast talker, charming fast talker. I don't know that. Probably rehearsed his speech. What am I going to say to Dad? He replayed it over and over and over. We read it once here. Maybe he wonders if Dad's going to take him back. He's hoping against all odds. He's covered with filth. He's on the way home. He's totally humiliated. I imagine he's got this pit in his stomach. And I'm sure he's a little anxious. I said, I'm sure he's a little anxious. What's the father going to do? How's the father going to respond? And I imagine that maybe he even braced himself for the absolute worst. Then as he walked along and he looked down the road, he could see a small dot of a man. He didn't know who he was, but every hill and turn, that dot got bigger and bigger and bigger. And as it began to get closer, he kind of recognized that gait in the walk, and he said, it can't be. Surely, it's not my dad. How did he know? Is that dad coming my way? And as he got closer and closer, he could see the robe that his dad was wearing, because in those days, especially a landowner, would have had a robe with some symbolism or some color that would have identified him. I imagine it was Dad. 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 He goes, it looks like my father. It's my father, and he's running my way. My respectable landowning father. For even a father to do that, to leave the ranch or the village and go do that, was completely unrespectable. In the Middle East, the landowner didn't run anywhere for anybody. But it really was him. It was Daddy. He took a deep breath. What's he going to say? His father, I don't know how it happened. I know he hugged him and kissed him. I think if I'd been grabbing my son, I might have hugged him. I might have kissed him. I might have tackled him. I might have rolled in the dirt. And there's laughter and there's tears and there's crying and there's I'm sorry's. And all this is going on as the father has got his arms wrapped around the son. And he sent my boys home. Come on. Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. Some of you are praying for prodigals. They're coming home. Keep praying, Mama. Keep praying, Grandmama. Keep praying, Dad and Granddad. They're coming home. Some of y'all in this building this morning are away from God. I'm telling you, the Father has ran right into your business this morning. And His arms are open. And His eyes are teary. And His arms of grace want to wrap around you. He'll even run you down. He ran me down. It's a story for another day. Now for the oldest brother. Let's read. How in the world does time go so fast? Y'all probably have a different perspective than that, but... Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Let me say this to you. The father will always make the move to you. That's what grace does. I know we ask Him in, we repent, we receive it, but grace has to touch you first. But when he answered his father, look, all those years I've been slaving for you. And again, that's the word for slave. Never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. I got to get through this. The older son who did everything right, kept all the rules. Right? I don't have to reset that up. I set it up in the beginning. The respectable son, the son that remained loyal. His little brother has come home. And he can't even go. He said, what's going on in there? They tell him. And I imagine him being on the front porch. He's outside. I use the front porch. Maybe he was seething. He said, my father has thrown away his dignity as the whole community watched. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross and died after he'd been beaten to a pulp, every piece of his flesh beaten with a whip and crucified and stripped naked and made fun of and spit upon and his beard pulled out. Jesus gave everything. He allowed himself to be stripped of every dignified. That's what Jesus did for us to pay for our sins. I've been here all these years. I've been faithful. I've kept clean. I've lived holy. I live by the book. I live by the rules. I always looked over my father's affairs. And in this kind of party, in that culture, guess who's supposed to be leading the way in the party? The oldest son. It wasn't supposed to be dad anyway. The oldest son's supposed to come in and celebrate and lead and MC and all the things that you do. And I'm mad at, just angrily, he says something in my vernacular. He says, Dad, I don't get it. Dad, I don't understand. I've always done what you asked me to do. And now he goes out and blows all the money and sleeps with whores? I don't get it, Dad. If you don't get anything, get this. And you might think, that ain't good. But not one ounce of anger darkens the Father's face or his heart. I imagine him going over, putting his hand on his shoulder. I said, my son, don't you know? Don't you see? You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we've got to celebrate and be glad because your brother was dead, and now he's alive. He's lost, and he's found. Two lost sons, but the issue's the same. Two lost sons, but the issue's the same. Here's the issue that's the same. The distance between them and their father. One was 200-300 miles, 100 miles away, who knows? One lived right under his roof and was just as distant as the kid that ran away. In fact, maybe the distance is greater for the one that stayed at home than the one that ran off. Because he said it in his own words. He was a slave in his father's house. Some of us this morning at home and here, we're a slave in our father's house. Now you want to keep the rules. You come to church, you do this, you do that, but there's still things in your life that's got hold of you. And you're trying as hard as you can because you don't like it. If you see something in you that's not like Christ, don't you just dislike it? I do. And I go, oh, Lord, that's got to go. Oh, My word, you know, and it's a lifelong walk. But I can try to change myself, and I can try to keep the rules, and I can try to do this, and get up every morning, keep my appointment with God, which I think we should, and read the Bible, and believe the Bible, and behave the Bible, and do all those things. But you know that little thing that's still flawed in me, or that other little thing over here that's still flawed in me? That thing that's still got me, or that thing that's still got you, that thing that you're a slave to while living under the roof of the Father all along. That pain or that thing that hasn't been healed in your spirit. And there's all kinds of things that manifest outwardly, and I won't go into those, but a lot of things that are going on in your life that are negative, both mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, are because you've been a slave in your heart, living under the Father's house all along, and you've been just as distant from the grace, the revelation of grace, the revelation of the grace sent by the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, as the prodigal down there on the street. And Jesus is saying, I want to reveal my grace to the lost, and I want to reveal my grace to the church. I'm tired of my children living under my roof bound. I'm tired of my children living under my roof addicted. I'm tired of my children living under my roof and losing the game. I want them to win, and I'm telling the keys not to do better. The key is Jesus's mold better, and you've got to get close to Him and say, I've got to see your grace. I've been religious. I've been faithfully religious. I love you as much as I can, but Jesus, I need you to crack my heart open to the indescribable grace of Jesus Christ. Because it's the distance from the Father that defeats us. But when you're close to the Father and you can feel the Father's arms wrapped around you, you will live victoriously always in the arms of the Father. Whoo! I finally got to preach and it's almost over. Does Jesus really love me? Do I really understand His grace? I've always belonged to Him. I've always done my heart. Ephesians 2 and 4 said, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Somebody say hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for Him. The book of Romans is the Magna Carta of grace. Worship team, come. You may be the younger brother this morning. You may be the older brother this morning. I'm asking you for a moment today, both home and here, all of us, me included, you never reach a place where you shouldn't ask God to crack you open with His grace and His love. Scripture says love never fails. Never. I'm asking you this morning, both home and here, to let your defenses down. Sitting in my prayer closet some time ago looking at this message, I was, Lord, how could Luther go? How did Wesley found? He said, what about you, Dale? Let the good news really be the good news. Let the good news really be the God news. And let's let grace change our life. If you're saved, I'm not challenging your salvation, but it's the beginning. Grace continually changes our life. And I believe in this hour we need a greater revelation. I challenge you to do this. How many here have failed Him some way in the last week? All of us, me included. I need to be close to the Father. I usually make my mistakes when I get a little distant. I'm just illustrating. How surprised do you think He is when you fail? That's a crazy question, isn't it? Do you think it's caught Him by surprise? How committed do you think Jesus is to see you through transformation? When you fall down, will He pick you up? And let me say something else. Sometimes we got to go around the mountain and go around the mountain again. But there's many times when we fail, if we'll just let grace touch our heart, we don't have to start all over. We can pick up where we left off. That's grace. Is there any way you can love your children or your grandchildren more than Jesus loves you? Is there any comprehensible way? Tell me. Tell me at home. Tell me here this morning. Can you love your children more than Jesus loves you? Well, then let me ask you this. Have your children come to you struggling ever? Have your grandchildren come to you struggling ever? Did you walk away? Did you walk away? What did you do? When my children come to me struggling, I don't walk away from them because I know when they're struggling, they need me more than when they're not struggling. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. How could Jesus be any different than that? Because on the path of grace, we are free and free indeed.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321, then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.